to another episode of Texas FFA Unraveled. Today, join us as we talk through all things chapter FFA meetings. I am very excited to introduce you to two of our brand new state officers, Weston Parr from the Area 5 Association and Jacqueline Rand from the Area 6 Association. So we're going to get started by having our state officers that are visiting us today introduce themselves. So Weston, we'll start with you.
So my name is Weston Parr. I'm from the Sam Rayburn FFA chapter in the Area 5 Association, and this year I'm attending West Texas A&M University.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jacqueline. I'm representing the Area 6 Association. I'm from the Linda FFA chapter, and I'm attending Baylor University.
So like I mentioned, today's episode is all about planning chapter meetings, and we hope that we have some advice for advisors and chapter officers to provide you with some ideas to get started on planning some really successful and productive chapter meetings. Let's start with Jacqueline. Tell us about the best thing that you remember about your chapter meetings.
At Lindell, we always had a theme to our chapter meeting, and it would go by the months. So in October, I always looked forward to our Halloween meetings specifically. One year, we had the parents of our chapter officers dress up as spooky characters, and we went to our local park, and we had kind of a haunted forest walkthrough thing. And at the end, we collected Halloween candy that our members brought, and we donated it to a local children's shelter. So it was a really fun thing, but it was also super productive. And those are my favorite types of meetings where we get to have fun, but we also get to give back. So yeah, just following a theme each month was really easy for us as officers because it allowed for something fun, but we were also able to get creative with the productive side of things.
No, absolutely. Weston, what about you?
So Sam Rayburn usually also, depending on the month, has a theme. But something else that we always did was we would pick an activity that we wanted to do, and then we structure our meeting around that. So the one that I always remember the most is during November, we'd have like a potluck meeting and everybody would bring food. And it was mostly just to get together and be around your members and be with each other and connect and eat some good food. And then while we were doing that, if we had anything that we needed to address or take care of, we could do it there. We've also done like the pumpkin carving contest and stuff like that, just to bring everybody together so that they can have fun and grow not only as maybe a team, but as a chapter.
One thing that I learned as a teacher is that students really like traditions. Even if you change things up a little bit from year to year, if you always have a potluck for your November meeting, the students actually learn to look forward to that. And if you invite another organization, a neighboring chapter, or maybe you include your booster club, it becomes an even better experience and an even greater tradition. And so one bit of advice that I want to start with today is the significance of tradition. Not only does it add value to a lot of your chapter meetings, but it also gives you the opportunity to kind of take some of the legwork out of planning. If you know that every October you're going to have that spooky walk in the park, and then every November you're going to have a potluck, then really the only question mark is, how do we get supplies or food or whatever we need? And then what business do we need to conduct during the meeting? And so we're going to come back to all of the fun stuff, but let's start with this. How do you recommend for our teachers that we make sure that the officers, number one, account for any of the business side of things that need to be addressed during the meeting? And how do you make that interesting, or how do you gain buy-in for the members to make sure that they're not just totally bored out of their minds during that part of the meeting?
One thing that we always made sure to do before having our chapter meetings was having an officer meeting with our ACT teachers. And there, it was a very casual setting, but our ACT teachers gave us a rundown of what's coming up and what's super important that we inform the members of. So just having kind of a checklist. And a way that we did it was we went around in a circle as officers. So we stood around the room and we would kind of popcorn to each other, and everyone would read one announcement and then answer questions. And that was a really fun way to do it because people kind of had to move around the room to get different pieces of information. And it was a very casual setting where they felt comfortable asking questions. And I think they retained it more that way, which was always helpful.
Absolutely. And I guess going back to the business side of things, you have to put yourselves in the shoes of the members attending, right? And so while you're planning it, if you're like, man, I would not want to sit in that room and listen to this, then you have to consider, okay, maybe we need to break this up, or some of this needs to go out in an announcement or a text message. But the meeting really is kind of what allows you to promote the activities and to promote your members and get them excited about things that are coming up. How do you get buy-in from the members who aren't officers?
As far as buy-in goes, our school usually does like a swag bag at every meeting. And so if you come, your name gets put in a drawing for some free merch. And that usually brings in a lot of kids as well.
I think a great way to do that is actually involve them in the decision making, having them vote on what they want the meetings to be, or even how we want to conduct business as a chapter. If there's a decision to be made, like what fundraising company are we going to use this year, having the members vote between option A and option B, and then announcing the vote right then and there so that they see that their opinion made an impact and that it's actually going to become action and they'll be able to see the results of their opinion and voice in the chapter.
Giving members spots on committees, making them committee chairs, committee co-chairs, committee secretaries, or just committee members in general, they can still be a part of that and be part of a thing that is actually making an impact, not only on the chapter, but the members in that chapter, the community, the people in the school.
No, I think that's a great point to make. As much as you all as leaders, and you've been leaders for a long time, you want some of that ownership, right? Like you want to be responsible for some things, but you also have to acknowledge the fact that if a member feels valued and they feel like their opinion makes a difference and they get a small vote in determining who benefits from the community service activity or what the movie is at movie night in December, something like that, there's a little bit of incentive for them to come, even if it's just for that 15-minute business session. The other thing, and I like this a lot that Weston mentioned, is using your members on committees or to be committee chairs. I think that the officers play a significant role in encouraging the committees to take action and to have conversations and to bring recommendations to the rest of the members. But using them means that you've got, instead of just your team of chapter officers, you've got 20 or 25, 30 kids who are actively involved in the business conducted by the members. And I also think we talk a lot about the job of ag teachers, right? And it's a lot. But if the chapter officers are encouraging the members to create committees and kind of guiding them on how those committees should run, that's one less thing that your ag teacher has to do. And so this is kind of our encouragement to you all to utilize your chapter officers to step up and take on that leadership role. Sometimes there may be a student who is incredibly capable, but just doesn't necessarily want to be a chapter officer, but may feel really strongly about community service. If you know that and you engage with that student and you know that they feel strongly about community service, then maybe as a chapter officer, you reach out to that student and say, hey, you could really help us out a lot here, and this could make a difference in the chapter. And so just realizing that there's probably more than 7 to 10 students in your chapter that are capable of being leaders, right? So all business aside, no pun intended, what about the activities? How do you make sure that it's an activity that everybody wants to participate in? And I guess as far as the themes go, give me some ideas. Jacqueline, I'm going to give you a month and you tell me, what are some topics that you might discuss during the business part of the meeting? And then tell me a theme or activity that might coincide well with that month. I'm going to start out with the low-hanging fruit here, but we're going to start with August, September, like the first chapter meeting of the year.
Yeah, this is always a super exciting time for everyone, but especially FFA. This kind of serves as our kickoff. So some very obvious information to point out is that it's the start of the year. LDEs are coming up. We'll start picking teams. Your classes are starting. So maybe that looks like an FFA study group announcement. And also kind of the business to start off the year. What's our mission for the year? And having the members put some input into that. That's something that I learned recently as a senior officer was, it doesn't always have to come down to the 7 of you. It's so much more helpful when you get ideas from your members, because at the end of the day, that's who the meetings are for, and that's who you're serving. So at the welcome back meeting, a great thing that we always did was Ag Olympics, getting everyone out to the farm, letting them see the facilities, and also teaching them how they run and operate while playing a game. So this could look like egg races or hay bale tosses, but all throughout your ag farms so that they get to see things and how they work and they feel comfortable when they go down later in the year to work with their projects.
Okay, that's great. So Weston, I'm going to challenge you now. And we've talked about the September meeting. We talked about spooky meetings in October. We talked about a potluck in November. Those are all great ideas. And so what are we doing in December, Weston?
December is honestly one of the funnest because you can do a lot of different things. Something that we've done in the past was White Santa. So everybody brings a gift, you put it in the middle of a table, you draw numbers, you go take that gift, and then the next person that draws can either take your gift or pick another one. And December meetings are important because we're at that point in the year where the new is wore off. Like, we've been back, we know what we're doing for the year. So now, like, how do we keep people engaged? How do we keep members wanting to come around instead of going and focusing on something else? So these meetings usually are more geared towards having a good time, bringing that connection back. And then if you have any special business that needs to be taken care of, take care of that, especially as you're breaking for Christmas, making sure that everything that you were supposed to get done before that part of the year was over is done. Looking at, okay, when we come back, what are the next things that we have to take care of? Once we get here, January, February, and March are very big months for an FFA chapter, at least where I'm from. So making sure that we're geared up for that and prepared for that. So just making sure that we feel like we're in a comfortable spot in December is usually what those meetings are used for. And just plan something that is going to get kids to want to come involved. So do something where they're getting something out of it and they're not just going and having like an informational meeting for the end of that calendar year.
No, I love that. I said I was going to challenge y'all. And so let's say that we're in the spring semester. It is the month of April, and I'm going through all of the quality standards for the national chapter application. And this is something that's very important to our chapter. We have not had a healthy lifestyles activity yet on our POA this year. Do any of you have any ideas of how we could incorporate a healthy lifestyle activity into a chapter meeting?
I think if we're in April and we realize that we don't have a healthy lifestyle aspect, the weather really plays a great part in this scenario, because in Texas in April, it's beautiful outside if it's not raining, but we can really take advantage of the outdoors. Something that I always loved doing in the springtime was going to the greenhouse and seeing the vegetables that we had grown, and then going to the cafeteria and bringing them our extra produce that we weren't going to sell in our plant auction. But teaching members, this is a part of a balanced lifestyle, that you're eating vegetables, you're exercising, you're enjoying the good weather while it's here in Texas, but just taking advantage of the outdoors around your school, or you can even go to a local park, or we have a park in my town called Faulkner, and it has ponds, so we could take chapter members fishing even. Just enjoying our spring afternoons or mornings, whatever you have time, but just taking advantage of the great weather and then making that into your healthy lifestyle.
So Sam Rayburn, we really actually do kind of have a lot of this going on because we do have a plant sale and we make all the kids take an active part in helping take care of that greenhouse. We also have a chicken coop, which is something that I ran, and I had kids that would come help me, and we would go check the chickens, clean the chicken coop out. We had a garden, so we would, you know, take care of the garden. We would give the produce to the school cafeteria. We had hydroponic systems, so we had kids that would help harvest that and clean that and take care of that. So that's not necessarily a meeting thing, which I'll get to in just a second, but that's just like an active, when you're in the chapter, you're probably doing something that is naturally growing or naturally being raised. And mentally, that's kind of refreshing because you're seeing that. You know, we teach a lot about knowing where your food comes from and being healthy. But when you're actually in a chapter and you're able to do that stuff almost on the daily, it is refreshing and it's humbling because there's a lot of people that don't get that opportunity.
I love the idea of incorporating healthy lifestyles into not just like one activity in a meeting, but something that kind of reinforces the need to understand, like, if you're eating fresh produce, not only is it delicious and you probably take that for granted sometimes, but you also get to see where it comes from. And so I love that element of it. Okay, I have another challenge for you that comes from the divisions of the program of activities. And so stakeholder engagement deals with any entity that is related to strengthening agriculture. And so this could be like Texas Farm Bureau, the soybean organization. This could be your Chamber of Commerce, your city council. So anyone that you all would consider stakeholders in your community. And so let's say it's a February meeting. It's cold outside. We're not going to go anywhere, but we really need to satisfy the POA requirement of stakeholder engagement. What's a meeting idea that would satisfy that?
If I'm thinking about my home chapter in Area 6, February is the time of our area convention. So we're coming up with our talent team contestants. So every year we have a talent show to pick our winner. And we are very close with our Chamber of Commerce. We go in the spring and help out with the rodeo, and then we help out in the fall with our local fall fest. So I think a great idea would be to invite those stakeholders to hear our amazing chapter talent. Let them help pick our talent team so that they see what our members are doing outside of, you know, raising livestock, LDEs, CDEs, but that there's so many more aspects to FFA that they maybe wouldn't know about. And that's a great way to connect with them on a personal level.
We as a chapter do a lot with members of companies or organizations in our community. The fair board usually pulls on us a lot to like help with county fairs and stuff. But most notably, last year, our county started something called Steaks on Main, which is a big like agricultural gathering. Everybody in the county comes out. There's a steak cook-off, there's a concert, and it's just really, our community has always lacked something that pulls us together. And so our fair board and a lot of supporters in the community came together and they asked my chapter and chapters alike, we want y'all to be there to be a part of that. So we went and we took trash bags out and refilled trash cans. We walked around and talked to people, we helped with the steaks. We did anything that we could so that these people that are coming and giving money to support ag education, both in the 4-H and FFA, they saw people there that were part of that so that they knew that the money that they were giving and the money that they were donating was actively helping kids in the community and they could put a face to that. So we usually do have multiple things throughout the year where we are involved with stakeholder engagement. So we usually do have a lot of stuff where we're involved with the stakeholders in the community. We're involved a lot with Tractor Supply in our community. They give us a lot of resources and opportunities. So we're usually up there a few times a year doing a bake sale or something, helping pull people in to come buy from them while they're actively seeing us and being able to help us at the same time.
Weston, you bring up a very good point. Not all chapter meetings have to be exactly the same. They don't have to be on the third Thursday of every month. They don't have to be at 7 p.m. so that parents can be there too. A chapter meeting can be, hey, we are doing community service today, and so you're going to meet on the side of the road at 2194 to pick up trash. That's the way that you keep all of your members engaged for that month, right? And maybe there's a newsletter or something that kind of satisfies any announcements that need to go out. I'm not saying that you shouldn't meet with your chapter officers or your members as often as you can, because I think that's important too. But if you have an opportunity to engage in stakeholders, you have to realize that that's just as valuable as a chapter meeting could be. And so maybe be open to kind of pivoting and letting that look a different way. Another thing I'd like to point out is if you've got neighboring chapters, or maybe you're part of a school district that has several chapters within it, maybe challenge them to do something together. And then not only do you get to interact as a chapter, but they're also meeting some students from across the school district or in a neighboring community. And that adds another element of participation too. And so I think that's kind of fun. So let's turn the tables and let's have you challenge me to a month or a theme or come up with something that might stump me.
Our hardest month was always May, with star testing and end of year and people, you know, had summer fever. So how would you keep chapter members engaged at the tail end of your year?
Usually we did not have a chapter meeting in May and our banquet kind of like filled that gap. But a couple of ideas that come to mind are, number one, maybe a social media challenge. Maybe you could do a virtual contest. And so maybe you put placing classes, but it doesn't have to be like traditional placing classes. Maybe you do post some animal placing classes, but then you do like sodas or fast food restaurants and have them engage that way, but then plug opportunities for next year. And maybe they're ranking Dr. Pepper, Coke, Diet Coke, and Pepsi. But then the plug that this officer's come up with is place these, I don't know, first through fourth, and don't forget to take a look at all of the judging opportunities available to you through Sam Rayburn FFA next year, and then maybe like link the chapter website and all of the judging teams that you had this year. Or maybe the social media challenge is about celebrations and student shout out. Let's take a look back on this year and celebrate all of the successes that we had over the past 12 months. If you wanted to have like an in-person meeting, maybe it's kind of like if the convention theme or the convention community service activity has been released, then maybe, let's say, a couple years ago we did the school supply drive, and so maybe that's the meeting to end the year. Help us give back to the community by contributing to the school supply drive or something like that. So those are the ideas that are just kind of off the top of my head, but May was always a tough month. I'm going to be honest, we really didn't do a ton other than the chapter banquet.
Sometimes we have so many good ideas that we try to, as officers, combine them all. How can we best avoid this when planning?
So if you know me, you know that my favorite habitude is rivers and floods. Think about a river. It's just a solid stream of flowing water moving in one direction, right? But a flood is this chaos. If we try to do too much, a lot of times we become that flood of chaos and we lose sight of that river that we had originally focused on. Less is often more. You don't have to do it all to be successful. I think when you've got all of these activities, like maybe you're doing a Minute to Win It challenge that are they're Christmas themed, and you've got 15 ideas, pick five and have the same amount of impact without as much work and without much chaos. And that can relate to your POA too, right? Not every quality standard on the POA has to be a meeting. Some of it might be a volunteer effort on a Saturday morning that's optional. Some of it might be a fundraiser that satisfies that, that doesn't include a meeting. But I think sometimes less is more. And if we overcomplicate things, sometimes our delivery is not as great as it could have been if we kept it simple.
So as an educator, if you were dealing with, say you had a chapter officer team that was in charge of planning meetings, but they never really did it, they were always dropping the ball, what was something that you would do to maybe motivate those chapter officers to do their job and want to be there?
So Weston, that is a fantastic question. And I will tell you that I dealt with this once in my career. I tried everything. I tried kind of doing it for them. And I realized that that was doing me no good because they really weren't learning anything from me taking charge. I tried meetings. I tried calling parents. I tried everything. And finally, I just said, you know what? If they don't want to do it, there are students who will. I went to my green hand team and I said, hey, you're going to plan the February meeting. And the green hand team was over the moon excited. And it wasn't in an effort to punish the officer team. It was in an effort to make them realize that in the absence of leadership, true leaders step up. And so the Green Hand team came together and y'all, they created this incredible thing. So one of the parents obviously helped us a ton, but she brought a projector up to the school and it was called Drive-In Movie Night. We coned off a part of the parking lot and everybody brought like blankets and sleeping bags and all of that stuff. And we played a movie and then they had all of these FFA themed snacks. And it was one of the better meetings that we had that year. And I will tell you that some of the chapter officers were inspired by this and they were like, oh, we're not letting our job go to our green hand officers. And some of them were upset and didn't show up. And that's okay. Because in that moment, it was not about those chapter officers. It was about what was best for the chapter. And our students at the time were hungry for engagement. They wanted to participate. They wanted to come to meetings and our chapter officers were letting them down. And so in that moment, the members mattered more than the officers. And so we just had to find a solution and go with it. One thing that I'm kind of curious to know is, let's say that y'all are visiting a chapter this year as state officers, and officers tell you, oh, we're having trouble getting members to come to meetings, and we're doing everything, we're providing food, we're trying to make them more fun. What advice do you give them, or what tools do you recommend to them to maybe kind of amp up that participation in chapter meetings?
This is definitely a challenge and something that my team has struggled with. And the best way that I know how to combat it is to talk to the members who you want to come, but who aren't. And most of the time, it's because they have prior engagements, they have practice, or they are FFA members and they're active, but that's the only time they can take care of their animal. So talking to your members and understanding what their conflicts are, and then doing your best to work around that. I know it sounds challenging, but we started doing morning and afternoon meetings. So having two sets, and not even the whole chapter officer team has to be there. You can do three or four or five and five, depending on how many are on your team. But having donuts and coffee in the morning and giving announcements, doing a small little icebreaker to brighten your Monday morning, and then doing the same thing again in the afternoon, but with pizza and snacks, and maybe you can have your big activity then. And so that way you're including everyone and adapting to everyone's schedules so that people can choose and have a little bit more flexibility. But in that way, you may not have everyone in the same room, but everyone's still getting the same information and checking in with the chapter and staying active.
I think that is a fantastic point to make. Like I mentioned before, not every meeting has to look the same. And so if it works better for your chapter to have a meeting during Pride time, I know that there's different names for it in every school district, or at the beginning of the day, like Jacqueline mentioned, or maybe having two. One is just informational and one is an activity. I think you're going to see that you'll have some members that show up to both just because they enjoy it that much. And then the rest of them will come and get that information when it's relevant to them. I just think the most important thing that we're getting from this conversation is that it's okay not to put yourself in a box. Just figure out what works for you and accomplish your business however you need to, but make sure that you are finding meaningful ways for the chapter officers and chapter members to be engaged, and utilize your stakeholders, utilize those parents that are willing to maybe help you plan meetings or bring in snacks or bring in supplies for those activities. You can start very small. If you are part of a chapter that has never had chapter meetings or hasn't in the past couple of years, start small and every once in a while have an activity and talk about some things. Have your chapter officers promote CDE contest in the spring semester. Maybe talk about some of those out-of-the-box SAEs for the following year so that they can start thinking about if they want to show an animal or do a research project or have an agri-science fair project. There's all kinds of things that you can just have a casual conversation about. And so I love all of this, and I think that we could probably talk all day, but I want to know from you. I know you talked about something that you always did in your chapters. Tell me about the FFA meeting that you did not enjoy. And the reason that I want to do this is because it's okay to have a meeting that maybe falls short, right? But how do we pivot and how do we do better the next time? And I can tell you a meeting that I planned that was just like not what I wanted it to be at all. We had do you remember that game? Like it was a Wii, but there was like a dance part of it, you know? So you had to like follow along with the Wii. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like Wii Dance?
Yeah.
Are you talking about like you put the CD in the little Wii and then you like hold the sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wii Dance.
Okay, so you have to follow along with the dance movements on the screen. Two of the officers were like, we need to have a Wii Dance tournament. We set up the Wii and we had like one on each side of the classroom, and we had members come up and volunteer, and there was like four students who wanted to participate. So they got up there and they danced, and then everybody was like looking at each other like, I don't want to do this. So nobody else participated. And we had like an hour and a half left in the meeting. We had snacks and everybody was just like getting up and leaving the room. Here's the thing. You can have these off the wall ideas. And in your mind, as an officer team, you might think that they're fun, but you have to ask yourselves, to those shy freshmen in the back, are they going to participate? Or is this something that they're going to laugh about and enjoy? Or should we maybe find another activity? And it's okay as chapter officers to challenge each other in a respectful way to say, I don't think that that's the best idea, right?
That's a good point. I feel like I had a similar situation. We tried to have just a green hand meeting one year around December in preparation for our green hand camp. And we had a former member, FFA member, come in, and he was really good at line dancing and swing dancing, and we were going to have dance lessons. Well, that went about the same way that we dance went, where there was a few less than 10 participating, and then everyone else was kind of standing around. And we ended up playing Duck Duck Goose by the end of the chapter meeting. And it just didn't feel productive. I think it's really important to consider all your audiences. And if you are going to do something like dance lessons or We Dance, have an alternative activity, whether that's cornhole or card games or something else that people can choose between. You don't have to have one major activity. Like we've been saying, not everything has to be cut and dry chapter meeting. You can be adaptable and let the members choose what they would like to enjoy. That just promotes companionship and connecting as a chapter.
The lowest of the low is when you plan an August meeting and you have like egg toss and there's some balloon games and you have everything ready to go and not a single person shows up other than the officer team. It doesn't get any more embarrassing than that. That is the lowest. The worst feeling as an FFA member is when nobody shows up to your meeting. So obviously, you know, the teachers are mad because the officers dropped the ball on it. The advertisement wasn't done right. And if you want to prevent that, get your meeting out there way in advance. I mean, put posters up, be on social media so that people know, talk to people. Jacqueline talked earlier about like just communicating. I'm very big on like personal connections. So if there's people that aren't showing up and you want them to show up, make sure you're making friends with those people. Don't let them just see you as an FFA officer. Make them see you as a friend. Go hang out with them. You don't have to be their best friend, but be somebody that they want to be around so they feel more obligated to show up and so that you have more engagement in those meetings.
That is an excellent point to make. Another thing that I kind of want to ask y'all is, what about inviting the junior FFA members if you've got them? Do you invite them to the chapter meetings? Do you have a separate thing for them?
We actually do invite them to the chapter meetings. The only problem that we run into with that, they're involved in the activity, but when it comes down to business and voting, we've always juggled with, do we allow them to participate in the voting since they're not technically active members? So that's something that you as a chapter need to decide on. I think it would personally be great for them to have a hand in planning things that the high school members are doing and then including them in those activities. So if you're voting on what community service project, allow them to, at the junior high or middle school level, wherever your junior FFA members are, allowing them to participate in that community service. But that's something that your chapter can decide.
I'm pivoting completely in a different direction here, but I kind of want to know about structure of the meetings. Because in my experience, if there was constantly structure, the officers came in, they knew how the room was supposed to be set, they did opening ceremonies, somebody kept the minutes, the agenda was posted the week before. Is this something that you all saw as well? Did you have as much structure? Do you think that structure matters to students that are close to your age? Because I can tell you that in one of the chapters I taught in, there was structure all the time, and there was value in that. The students really wanted to be chapter officers, like the young students kind of like looked forward to that. And then I taught in another chapter where there was absolutely no structure whatsoever. And the chapter officers, the first meeting showed up and didn't even know opening ceremonies. And so I'm kind of curious to know your thoughts there.
I can definitely relate to you, Ms. Jackson. I've been a part of teams that are very informal, just show up in the clothes that we went to school, and then another where we wear official dress to the meetings. We do opening ceremonies. We have the agenda. And I think that, A, you have to really analyze your audience and analyze your goal as a team. If your goal is to have a really relaxed setting, then be a little less informal. But I think at the end of the day, the best scenario is to open professionally and then break it down. And when you hit your activity, wherever that is in your meeting, and then take off kind of the chapter officer hat and just become another member so that you can better understand and connect with the people that you're serving, as well as, you know, encourage them in a different form.
We usually know when we're going to be doing something. Like most of the times our meetings start out, we might be in the shop cooking hot dogs or something. And so like we provide a meal for the kids, and then opening ceremonies may very well just be out there while everybody's gathered up. And then after we eat, everyone splits off, the parents go to their alumni meeting, and then the kids will go do their activities. And then usually as a kind of a closing, we just mingle and talk to each other. So our meetings aren't like super structured to the point, you know, a chapter conducting meeting would go, but there is points that we will hit to make sure that we're getting what we need to get done, and we don't look like we're unprofessional while we're doing something, but we're also still like very relatable to the members that are there.
Sure, both excellent points to make. Before we wrap this up, what other information, tips, tricks, advice do you have for our members, chapter officers, or even our advisors who are listening?
If I had to tell a chapter officer team anything, to don't procrastinate, don't like put something off to the last minute. You ideally have 30 days to plan your next month's meeting. So do it a month ahead and don't wait until that last week, because if you're waiting to the last minute, you're going to have a last minute kind of meeting. But if you're getting it done early and you're making sure that you have time to go over everything and make sure that everybody knows what they're doing, you're going to expect a better meeting because you've put more time and effort into that meeting.
I think another great tool to utilize is your summer time. You'll most likely know your chapter officer team by the end of the year. And so planning a chapter retreat or even utilizing time during state convention, that's literally set aside in the schedule for chapter meetings. Something that we always did in my chapter was during our retreat, pick two officers on the team for each meeting. So every person would have two meetings a year to plan. So you know well in advance in July what your year's going to kind of look like, and you can start thinking of ideas. But at the end of the day, you're going to plan. But the day of the chapter meeting, if it's not necessarily perfect, it's okay. I think as a leader, it's so much more impactful to be imperfect and handle it with grace than be perfect all the time, because that's a little bit intimidating. So just be relaxed, but be prepared at the same time.
Thank you for joining us, Weston and Jacqueline. I think you've shared a lot of great ideas and a lot of knowledge that might help our chapters and their officers prepare for the meetings for the 2023-2024 school year. I look forward to hearing all of the outcomes that our chapters come up with for their chapter meetings this year, and wish you all the best year ahead.